But Jiminy crickets, mate. Walker away from the football before it walkers away from you.
It's mad. There's such like small club mentality that you've got your players out there. You've just lost to this team. All the players twerking for this manager.
Rico Lewis is a social experiment gone horribly wrong.
Do you think you'll be able to find the fire again? Will the team be able to find the fire again? And he was like, for me, we needed these losses at the moment.
I loved how many, like, just fat, bald English men that she just pisses off.
Me charge you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw episode 115. The same amount of charges.
It's the charges episode.
As Man City.
Me charge you.
Oh, it's so good to have football back, isn't it? After international break, we got proper football back. It's what you love to see. And the weekend threw up some very tasty results for us to discuss here today.
It did indeed.
Perhaps none tastier than our first starting point. Man City 0, Tottenham Hotspur 4.
It's a matter.
How does this happen? I mean, they went into international break off the back of a loss to Ipswich. City, we said, fantastic time for international break. Couldn't come at a better time. Yep. Time to get some of the squad back in fit. Time to reassess what's going wrong. Pep's going to work his magic, we thought. It's a great fixture for them to get right back into, set the precedent again. And it all just came tumbling apart at the hands of Ange Postecoglou and a very cerebral performance from James Maddison.
Yeah, it's a weird one because we won't talk too much about what's going wrong at Man City. We've done a video about it. Check it out. I'll do like a little tag thing and highlight the video. But there's some glaring issues. One being Haaland's not scoring. Another one being no Rodri, and you've got to play the likes of Gundo. Did you see the clip where Brennan Johnson was making a break to get his goal back post and Gundo was tracking him?
Mm.
And
it's like snail's pace.
Mate, the legs are just gone.
Yeah, I mean, your first point, Haaland not scoring, is obviously a massive issue because when they brought him in, we expected him to be like the output for like 80%+ of their goals.
Yeah.
And which he's done that over the last few seasons. But if he doesn't score now, City don't score.
The drop-off is violent. Yeah.
I think I've seen something like he's accumulated something like over seven XG in the last like five games and he scored two goals.
Fantasy fans screaming.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great, but I think he's only going to perform when the rest of the team behind him are performing. He's not the type of player that's going to create goals on his own.
Yeah, facts.
He needs a source to be able to drop the source.
And there's no player less saucy right now than Phillip Foden.
Yeah.
I've gone in on that guy so many times, and I'll go in on him again. How can you go from best player in the Premier League last season, PFA player of the season, to... Well, I think it's one or two assists and no goals this season.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look fit, does he? He doesn't look sharp. I don't know whether off the back of the Euros he picked something up and then he's sort of been working his way back in. But it's not good. But there's no one in that City team who is dropping more than like a 5 out of 10 any game. Maybe Vardiol in a few games.
Yeah, stinkers all over the gaff.
I mean, I look at that team and it is soft all the way from Haaland through to Edison. And teams are realising that. Target Kyle Walker is a sentence I never thought I'd be saying. But Jiminy Crickets, mate.
Jiminy Crickets,
since
mate.
The Euros, we must have said 8 or 9 times, my friend, Walker away from the football before it walkers away from you. Because my guy is getting cooked by everyone.
It's rough. He needs to take some time out. Gundo, I love you. I love your service. You've been a great techie little Don in your time. The comeback wasn't the comeback story.
He's too much of like a box-to-box to sort of... He can't do what Modric is doing. Mm. When Modric, you know, his game was all about tempo, controlling the game. Gundo was a lot about his sort of ability to fill the space, pick up the ball, travel with it. He had the passing range. He had everything about him. He was dangerous. He had good output for a central midfielder. He's stuck in the middle of no man's land. He's not going to be able to do the tempo side of it because he hasn't got anyone to sit next to him with Kovacic out. He's going to do the dirty work. Even when Kovacic is in, he's not doing the dirty work. Their midfield is weak. Bernardo Silva is playing at like 20% of the player we know he is. Rico Lewis is a social experiment gone horribly wrong.
Oh, jeez.
Like, it is poor all over the pitch. Savinho, I mean, you can tell he's a baller, but is he Premier League, like, champion standard?
There's a lot of players that I'm thinking are just, they're a bit of luxury players.
Doku.
Savinho. Phil Foden.
So, yeah. I mean, someone's got to step up big time in that team.
Yeah, maybe I saw, so Kev was on for like the last 20 minutes in that game.
I think he starts against Liverpool.
He has to start against Liverpool. Huge game on the weekend that we'll talk about a little bit later.
But makes their midfield probably even more soft.
Talk to me about Tottenham at Spurs.
I mean, big Ange. I mean, for a while, Tottenham have been a bit of a bogey team for Man City.
Oh, I saw since Pep's arrival in the Premier League, Spurs have taken the most points off of Man City.
Throughout their...
You hate to see it, but you love to see it.
Tumultuous period of managers that they've been through. They've always seemed to have a knack against Man City. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But they were really good. And they lined up with Dragusan and Ben Davis. And I was thinking, right, if they play that high line, they're getting cooked.
Well, this is exactly what happened last season. Last season, they had defensive issues. And they played bloody Emerson Royale and Ben Davis. And everyone was like, oh, they're going to get cooked. Everyone's triple captain in Haaland. Spurs, I think, won 1-0 or something.
Yeah.
It's the same again. Like, Man City just can't get round Spurs.
I think it showed Ange is somewhat tactically flexible. I think they played about 10, 15 yards deeper than they usually do. They defended on the sort of the outside. They defended the edge of the box as opposed to leaving space in behind for where Haaland's probably going to have the better of Dragusan and Ben Davies. Mm. But I thought they were just so... They had so much belief.
And what they did, because they dropped deeper and tempted Man City further up the pitch, it allowed them to counter on Man City. You saw Timo Werner absolutely skinning Kyle Walker. Brennan Johnson skinning Gundogan on the other side. When you, tempt Man City up the pitch and you've got fast break on the transition, happy days.
And you're asking the question in Man City where they used to have the answers. They currently don't have that. When they were allowed to sit on the edge of the box, that's when they were most dangerous because you'd have Rodri recycling the ball constantly. Mm. No one's getting past him. The ball would operate just on the edge of the D, like, constantly. Mm. I thought Spurs were just outrageous. Really, really good. And then you obviously have Kulusevski missing. And Madison drops in.
No, Kulusevski played.
Sorry, Bentancur.
Yeah, Bentancur.
Madison dropping in. And he had an absolute fantastic game. And he's a player. We know who's got it. But like you say, he's hot and cold. It's purple patch off the purple patch, isn't it?
Yeah, on his day, he's one of the best creative midfielders in the league. But that day... I think on the games where like there's a lot of pressure on him and Spurs, he doesn't deliver. I think the pressure was off this game and turned up really good game. But Kulusevski, I think we spoke about him. I don't know if it was last podcast or the podcast before. One of the most exciting players in the Premier League at the moment.
He's another one where
dominating
came in
the midfield
and was fantastic for Spurs. We were like, who is this guy? He's amazing. Then he sort of had a bit of a fall off. I guess the difficult thing for him is that he was being asked to do lots of different things.
Yeah.
Sometimes we saw him out wide. Sometimes we saw him in the middle. Sometimes we saw him deep. You know, he didn't really have, you know, a consistent team around him to get the best out of him. Now we are seeing the best out of him. It's not always his output what you're looking for, which is probably what he had in that first season. But he is a real integral part of that team.
Yeah, like you said, he's integral. He's very much like if the cards aren't in your favour, he'll take the game by the scruff of the neck. He's very hands-on. He won't shy away.
Yeah.
You see, he's a captain in Sweden now, which is a big... I think, he's a big personality in that Spurs team that I think when you shoved him out wide, he kind of got lost in games a little bit. But when he's in the midfield, he can kind of just get involved in all facets of the play. Kind of like Cole Palmer or Odegaard, kind of... You just want your better players to just be on the ball all the time. And I think that's what Spurs have started to realise with Kulusevski. Don't kind of isolate him out wide. Get him in the centre of the pitch where he can just kind of dictate the game, do what he wants on the ball. And yeah, it's blossoming into quite a good little duo, him and Maddison, with, I don't know, Bissouma behind them or whatever.
Yeah, I just want to touch on Bissouma and Sarr. I think Sarr's been a real revelation this season. We saw glimpses of it, but him and Bissouma have started to build a quite nice partnership there where they're really taking the midfield by the scruff of the neck and sort of dictating the game. They're very physical. They're big players, but they're technical. They get up the pitch and, you know, they provided a great defensive cover for what is a makeshift back line for that Spurs team. One of the big issues, though, coming out of the game for Spurs is Vicario.
Broken ankle.
I think he played 60 minutes of the game with a broken ankle, broken foot. Fraser Forster's not the guy.
That is, as far as drop-offs go, that is like Saliba to Rob Holding kind of drop-off.
Oh, heavy. Yeah, it's really bad. And Vicario's been a real revelation since he came into the team. off the back of losing.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Spurs fans have kind of been getting on his neck over, like, I'd say the last, like, few months, because he is a bit hot-headed. He does invite a lot of pressure. He does that thing kind of like from set pieces where he'll like, the opposition team will kind of target him and he won't like shy away. He'll kind of get involved and then get bullied and kind of concede a lot from. But I think Spurs fans, as soon as realised he's out for a while now,
the panic sets in.
Yeah, they've kind of realised shit, like, even though he has his issues, he's still a pretty solid goalkeeper.
Yeah, depending on how long he's out for, I mean, you could see them go for someone like Kelleher.
I've seen people talk about Kelleher. I talked about Kelleher.
I've seen people saying Karius, Keylor Navas. It's got to be better options,
yeah, there's
surely.
Yeah, it's got to be, yeah.
But
Lunin from Real Madrid. Is he still at Real Madrid?
Yeah, I mean, surely you have like a, I don't know, an under-21s keeper who's
competent, yeah. But I don't know, Spurs are an interesting one because I was just looking at the league. So they're currently sat in sixth on 19 points. And this is what must do Spurs fans is headed. If they just won the game that they were expected to win against Ipswich at home, they'd be...
They drew against Leicester at the beginning of the
season. They'd be on 22 points, the same as Chelsea, same as Arsenal, same as Brighton. But because they didn't do what was expected, was expected of them, obviously, they're still in contention. They're only 3 points off. It's very tight at the top of the league.
I mean, it's literally but 4 points from sixth to 14th.
They would literally be in the conversation for top four, top like title race talk.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, I can imagine it gets on Spurs fans' tits. But
yeah, I mean, this is the issue with Spurs, though. They're so hot and cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a fairly similar lineup, fairly similar setup to what they had against Ipswich. Just completely different outcomes.
Mm.
One game they looked entirely ready for, and they had energy, and they seemed to be like a togetherness. Everyone seemed to be on the same page. Whereas at Ipswich, it was really poor.
Mm.
Really, really, really poor. So it is hot and cold, and I think it's what we've come to expect. But the only thing you know with Spurs is that whoever they're playing, it's going to be a good contender for
game of
the weekend.
Yeah.
Because they always... It's always good or bad, one way heavily.
Another team I want to talk about that we haven't really spoken about, but are quietly going about their business very impressively, Brighton and Hove Albion.
Yeah, obviously they've got in Fabian Hürzeler off the back of De Zerbi leaving, off the back of Graham Potter leaving. And every time a manager leaves, I think, they can't replace him.
They can't go one up.
But they seem to do it.
They do it. And this guy, obviously don't know much about him, but he came in. He's done really well. They had a big investment in the summer as well.
Mm-hmm.
After losing Saicedo, they had cash burning a hole in their pocket and McAllister. So they're currently in fifth. 12 games played. 6 wins, 4 draws, 2 losses.
Mm-hmm.
Same as Arsenal and Chelsea. Talk to me about Brighton. So they just won 2-1 on the weekend against Bournemouth, another team who we think are doing quite well.
Yeah, I really like what they're about. I mean, they seem to replace a progressive manager with an even more progressive manager, someone who plays really intense attacking football. And it's sort of probably all down to their sort of, it goes all the way back to the coach off the board, directors, everyone who, you know, there's a real identity at this club now for promoting young players.
Yeah,
buying in from the outside, taking these hidden gems, turning them into Premier League stars. And they do that with their managers as well.
100%.
But they're relying on top quality players. Players who probably wouldn't get a look in otherwise. But you're talking the likes of Mitoma.
What I was going to say, their front line is one of the most exciting front lines in the Premier League.
Unbelievable.
João Pedro, I reckon, we said this at the start of the season, I reckon in the summer... That's a £100 million player.
100%.
Mitoma, like you said, one of the best wingers
in the Premier League. They've literally revitalised Danny Welbeck's entire career.
Danny Welbeck, currently one of the best strikers in the Premier League.
I'm not even kidding. Just get him in the England setup.
And then they got, on the other side, Jorginho Ruta, which was a big money signing from Leeds.
One
in the
who
summer.
Didn't really impress me at Leeds, but we
He's
can see
like
what Leeds
player.
Were looking at now.
Yeah.
Like, really, really good.
They've got Adingra, who's a great player.
Baleba, I think, is outrageous.
Yeah. So many good players that, like you said, they'll just go through the kind of Brighton mill where they come in as an unknown star, stay there for a season or two, be very much upper-end Prem quality, and then Brighton will sell them for
I mean,
hundreds of millions.
Don't forget, they lost Pascal Grosch as well this summer, which is a massive loss for him because we done a piece on him last year, but he was outstanding. Even his underlying numbers were outstanding. But just listen to their bench, yeah? They've got Adingra, baller. Enciso, baller. Evan Ferguson, loan listed now, but we know what he's about.
It's mental that, like, going into the season, people had him as, like, one of the kind of next big strikers to blow up. And Brighton are doing so well that they don't even need to play him.
Is it West Ham are linked with him? I think. Gruda as well, who's been bought in from the Bundesliga, who's really highly rated. McConville, O'Reilly, Samuels, Steele, who's a really good keeper. And Viper as well, who you highlighted at the beginning of the season for one to watch. Out at the minute, they've got Dunk, Hinsulwitz, Kadioglu, Lamptey, March, Milner and Webster. So that's a pretty big injury list as well, with some big names.
Just a good depth, good squad. Like you said, just a great identity at the club. And I think Brighton can... And they've been doing this for seasons on end now.
Yeah.
But they could just go about their business kind of calm, collectively, enjoy the time. They got Southampton next weekend, so...
That should be a dub. Yeah, Southampton at home, Fulham away, Leicester away. So they've got three teams, which are definitely beautiful. Then they've got Palace, West Ham and Brentford.
Do we need to talk about Brighton in the title race?
Are they going to do what Villa did last season?
Brighton, so what was it? Last season they had Europa League football or was it Conference League football? I can't remember. But they are starting to like... Teams, that's what you do. You come into the Prem, do a couple of seasons at kind of bottom to mid-table, get your first go at European football and then you've got to kind of stabilise there. Because you saw that season that Burnley came up, a couple of seasons after that, or Wolves as well. They get European football and then don't stabilise there.
They go big.
And then go down.
They don't sort of build that infrastructure to allow them, right, if we miss out next season, we still got a hand on all these players.
Exactly.
And they're smart with the negotiations. They hold a lot of weight in the negotiating table, get good value for money out of all their players. And yeah, it's
so they're starting to stabilise as kind of like a lower European club, which is, for Brighton fans,
very
I can imagine,
well-run
bloody
club.
Happy
and
days.
What's really interesting is that teams like United, like Chelsea, have looked to sort of copy what Brighton have done.
Very much.
Even so far as stealing their backroom staff, stealing their directors, their technicians.
But you can't steal the results.
But there's something there that they can't seem to replicate.
Facts.
We saw Man United stealing Man City's Adara,
was it? Oh, yeah. Sporting
Director or something like that. Can't seem to replicate it. There's something different there. And they'll be very well held to continue doing so.
Yeah, fair play, Brighton. Brighton fans, let us know, what is your kind of season expectations? Obviously, you're fifth at the moment. Are you talking just keep ploughing onwards? Or would you take kind of European football in whatever shape it comes?
Yeah, I think you have to take whatever comes your way. Right, who do you want to talk about next?
I want to talk about Mo Salah. Obviously, Liverpool won against Southampton. Southampton, actually quite a good performance against Liverpool. But Mo Salah steals the show, what is it, 2 goals, I think it was?
Mm-hmm.
And then
really,
after...
Really tidy finish for the equaliser.
Yeah.
And then puts away the penalty.
But after the game, he spoke to the press and said, it's December now, and I haven't been contacted about a new contract. So I'm more out than I am in.
I think if they put a contract on the table, he's taking it. Unless he gets like a £2 million a month deal from Saudi, which isn't off the cards, I really think that he'll stick around.
See, I think it's a weird one. I think both him and Liverpool were probably waiting to see like what the crack was with Arne Slot. If it was
Didn't need a complete overhaul.
Yeah, like if it was like Ten Hag bad, he'd probably jump ship, go Saudi. Yeah. But if they somehow win the Prem...
Well, it's just concerning that Liverpool don't seem to really be pushing the boat forward in terms of Van Dijk, Trent and Salah.
I've heard rumours about Van Dijk being agreed the new deal.
Yeah, I think, well...
They can't lose all three of
them. I think Trent's gone.
Mm.
I don't know what it is. I just think he's... I think he's
the vibe.
Gonna, yeah, I just think he's gone.
Mm.
I really do. And I hate to see it, but he will do bits for Real Madrid. But yeah, Mo Salah, I think... Even if they offer him, what, like 350 grand a week for the next 2 seasons, I think it's going to cost you like 54 million over the course of 2 years.
Yeah, you can't replace what he's doing.
But who could you get in that's going to put up that output for 54 million?
Facts.
You know, it's mental. I think he is so consistently the best and he doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Mm.
Maybe he's not as involved in games as he was in his Liverpool heyday, but the clinicality is there.
Yeah, it's
the
all about putting the ball in the back of the net, and he's doing that at an elite level still.
He can't snuff that. Has he been the best player in the Premier League this season?
Probably.
I think so.
Yeah.
So a very interesting clip, actually.
Talk to me.
Rory Jennings getting absolutely shut down by Stumpeg.
Shout out Neve. She is one of the best content creators
on
the scene at the moment.
I love how many just fat, bald English men that she just pisses off because she absolutely cleans the floor when it comes to football knowledge.
Yeah, she's just very level-headed, kind of doesn't look through the lens of club bias as well.
And incredibly articulate.
Yeah.
And just never seems to be wrong about anything.
Getting a lot of love on Twitter, to be fair.
But yeah, she was saying that right wing slot in the Premier League all time is now Mo Salah's.
It has to be.
100%.
Someone said Beckham. David Beckham. And whilst he is just a big name, and I just don't think
the argument was that Salah doesn't have the creative side that David Beckham had. And then Neve came back and said that she's 5 assists off with all the goals. It's mental. And then I think Adam McCullough said Ballon d'Or winning Cristiano Ronaldo.
At right wing. What's he on about?
No idea, mate. But I don't know. He, for me, is undoubtedly a Premier League great. And he's continuing to flourish.
Yeah, it's just a shame that he's only got one Premier League to show for it. Maybe two. Who knows? But
I mean, at this rate.
But yeah, no.
What are they now? 11 points clear? 8 points clear?
Yeah, 8, I think it is.
And yeah, they got City on the weekend. Go 11 points clear. Mental. Yeah, absolutely mental. And Liverpool will be licking their lips. This is at Anfield. It's a big game.
But tomorrow night, Real Madrid.
Yeah. Well, apparently Mbappe up against Trent.
It's an interesting one. I think
Trent's fit.
But yeah, it's a big week for Liverpool.
Very big week.
They could,
very big week.
They could put down a marker in this Arne Slot kind of new generation if they, in 1 week, slap Premier League 4 on the bounce, Man City, and then Champions League 5 million on the bounce.
I saw Pep in an interview was saying that no other managers won 7 Premier Leagues in 8 seasons, or whatever, and then we were like 7. Does he know something we don't?
Damn.
I think he's only on 6.
I saw an interview with him where the interviewer was like, do you think you'll be able to find the fire again? Will the team be able to find the fire again? And he was like, for me, we needed these losses. And I was like, you are a sick bastard.
There was also someone who was like, what has to change? And the guy was like, what would you change? What would you change?
He's so tapped when you interview him. You can't get a straight answer out of him.
No.
And other managers, if they did that, would get critiqued. But him, because he just is so successful, you can be tapped in the head.
Yeah, it's mental. A manager who got tapped in the head quite literally and booted out of the club was Steve Cooper.
Jeez. I'll put in the video now, if I remember, of the bloody Leicester boys.
In the club.
Out in the club with drinks girls with the sign saying, Enzo, I miss you.
Mental.
That is... Oh, mate, my head
I'm
would
not
be
even
gone.
Kidding here, but if I'm Steve Cooper, watch out, because I'm coming to all your houses.
Mate, I'm doing do you know the Joker in The Dark Knight where he blows up the hospital?
Yeah, that's what
I'm going to the training ground, just fucking
putting notes in people's lockers from Fatawu to Jamie Vardy.
It's mad. There's such small club mentality that you've got your players out there. You've just lost to this team. A team that finished mid-table last year, or where they finished. A team that have taken your manager... And then you've got
player.
All your club, just all the players twerking for this manager. It's embarrassing.
Mate, I'm not being funny.
He was only there a season.
Mate, even if I was the owner, I would be raging.
Mate, he was only at your club for a season. How you got all the players twerking for him like that?
Yeah, he got you relegated out of the Championship with a Premier League squad. Mental. It's absurd. And I feel for Steve Cooper because whoever's brought him in clearly thought he was the right manager. And I'm 99% certain, and nothing's come out, I don't think, but I'm 99% certain that something must have happened after that Chelsea game.
Oh, yeah.
Something must have happened. He must have seen that video or something and kicked off about it.
Yeah, it's not good.
The parting statement was very brief. It was Steve Cooper's left the club. Fine. And you wouldn't sack your manager when you're sat 2 points, 2 places above the relegation zone. You've played some hard opposition.
I was going to say,
you've
got some results, good results. Yeah, the results haven't been
and
that
you
bad.
Look like you're a team who's capable of staying up. You wouldn't get rid of him without having someone immediately lined up.
So I've heard rumours in the rumour mill of Ruud van Nistelrooy.
I've heard rumours of David Moyes.
And then I think the other name that's being touted about is Graham Potter.
Yeah, Graham Potter was one that we were linking before Steve Cooper. I think that's a good shout. I think David Moyes is my favourite shout.
I think Van Nistelrooy is my favourite shout, just a bit out there, a bit like when, I don't know, just...
But is that the type of manager you need when you're fighting relegation?
I don't know.
Because if Leicester go down again, it could be problems, because they've got some horrendous financial fair play going on.
True that. I think they're all pretty good options, to be fair.
Yeah, maybe Mark Robbins could be an outsider shout. Mine would go David Moyes, Graham Potter, Mark Robbins, Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Oh, big hate for Van Nistelrooy.
I don't hate him.
Nah,
I just think, like, maybe go with something a bit more tried and tested.
Is there any more tried and tested than 100% Premier League record? No losses. Can't argue with it.
Nuts.
No, but yeah, Leicester, it's an interesting one.
I think it's a complete... I think their season's a free fall here. Really do.
16th place, 10 points on the board. Yeah, one above relegation zone. Meh. Who have they got coming up? Let's have a look. See?
They're not the favourites in like any game.
No,
maybe apart from like Southampton.
Next game. So under a new manager, potentially this weekend, they've got Brentford.
At home or away?
Away at Brentford.
That's hard because Brentford have one of the best home performances.
They do indeed. A good side. And then the week after that, to start December, West Ham, who we'll talk about actually coming. Yeah. Just got a 2-0 win against Newcastle at Newcastle. Really good result. So that potentially could be a hard game. But yeah, Leicester, I don't know. Let us know in the comments down below.
Bad decision?
To get rid of Stevie Cooper. I think once that whole Enzo Maresca plays in the club thing happened, like, you can't, like, as a manager, you can't, like, navigate that
Turns
situation.
Out in the club, we ain't all fam.
Yeah. It stinks from the players.
Do you know what? It is rotten. And it's something I wouldn't expect of a club like Leicester. But you never know. You never know these days. But yeah, West Ham.
I was
expecting you guys
would
come off and absolutely slap them.
Honestly.
Isak, I think, had like 4 goals in 4 games, something coming back.
Yeah, I think Newcastle were like creeping up the table.
I think he had a pretty horrendous international break, actually, Isak, though. He had a game where he had a goal ruled off for offside unfairly against like Azerbaijan. And then I think Gokeres stole like a goal off on the goal line from him, and he couldn't make it work. Got my fantasy saying, mate, he's on 4 and a bounce. He's got West Ham. He's going to do it. Yeah. No, nothing, mate.
Honestly, West Ham looked really good. Lucas Paquetá, so there was like a battle of the Brazilians in this game. Him, Joe Linton, Bruno Guimarães, and he came out on top. He looked really good. Yeah. Jared Bowen's always quality.
I think like they're just a very solid team. I think Lopetegui is... I think they've gone for like the Aston Villa route. Get a manager who didn't work out in the Premier League the first time. He's clearly a good manager.
Point to prove.
And then bring someone... He's got pedigree. Like, bring him in, give him some time. They spent big. They got in Todibo, Van Bissaka. They got in Kilman. They brought some big players in.
Somerville. Yeah.
Somerville. You know, like Alvarez. They've got good players. Like, it needs time.
Calma. Is that what you're saying? Calma, West Ham fans.
And I think they will come good. I don't think they're going to be in a relegation fight for too long.
14th place, 15 points, which is interesting because 15 points...
4 points off...
Yeah, 4 points off like...
Sixth.
Yeah. So...
Yeah, it's very tight.
It's not that bad. I think, yeah. I sort of shout out Jacob, one of the boys from the podcast. He tweeted before the Newcastle-West Ham game. He was like, time for everybody to tune in and see what's going wrong at West Ham. And I liked it because I haven't watched many West Ham games. So I was expecting, like you said, to just watch this game, watch Newcastle slap them up. Put the game on. And I was like,
what's all the
hubbub about? Because they're actually pretty solid.
Yeah, I think just it's going forward, which is a massive problem. Like, Antonio, like the man, but he ain't the guy anymore.
He spends more time ripping his T-shirt.
Full Krug has not hit the ground running.
No.
And they have been conceding a fair few goals. Team who haven't really conceded too many goals, but got slapped up this weekend, Fulham. Lost 4-1 to Gary O'Neill's Wolves. We said, keep calm, Wolves.
Calma!
He will do you bits. And Mateus Cunha is the greatest footballer I've ever seen.
He's so good.
So outrageously good. I think Wolves are going to be absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. We'll see you in...
the Premier League next season.
Yeah, well, yeah. What is it? May it finishes?
Yeah, no. Yeah, 100%. They've got, like we said in the video, check out last pod, too many techie players. A decent, like, clued up manager. There are teams that are worse than them.
Hundo.
Really hard start to the season. Hundo. So it was all just going to...
But they were scoring like every game.
Yeah, it was going to... Calma.
Yeah, I completely agree. A team that's not very calm though. Manchester United. And this will be our final topic before we crack on with our favourite weekly segments. Ruben Amorim got off the ground flying. Couldn't have a better start. 80 seconds in.
Yeah.
He's got Rashford scoring again. Man United are going to win the league. Then it just fell apart, didn't
it? Yeah, it stunned like, a little bit.
The setup looked better. Mm. It looked better. They were much more fluid. The press was a lot more like sort of cohesive.
Ahmad Diallo at right wing back.
Yeah, I know. I liked what they do, but it's going to take time.
Yeah, it's a very different system. Early days, yeah.
And it is so sort of night and day from the terroristic football of...
Is terroristic an adjective?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm coining it.
Yeah, I like it.
But it's night and day.
Mm.
It's going to take time. I thought Onana looked really good.
Yeah,
probably massive. Not a very good statement to make in terms of Man United being better.
Because Liam Delap had a few sitters that he should have put away.
100%.
For my fantasy.
But, I think that midfield pairing, though, and Eriksen and Casemiro,
we were talking about Gundo having no legs, but yeah, that is a midfielder that's got no legs.
Especially when you're a two, they need legs in there. Is Tommy Mann injured?
Ugarte is weird that he's like... Obviously, he knows him from sporting days. It's weird that he wouldn't rely on him.
Yeah, I don't really know. Maybe it's just one of those where get into the club, sort of find your feet, sort of get a feel for all the players. Just put you too much experienced guys in midfield.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. And, but yeah, I think time will tell.
I think
he'll come good.
Yeah, I think he'll come good. I think there's just a lot of players in that team
who aren't very good.
Yeah. So he needs time to kind of work his system, and he needs time to just get out all the bang average players, which we seem to be saying pretty much every season at Man United.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Luke, let's hit some segments, mate.
Hall of the Week?
Let's do it. Talk to me. What we got?
We got a fantastic little goal here from the Gloucester keeper. Some non-league football for you. Check out this.
Oh, my word! It's a goal! Oh, God. Oh, my word. What has happened there?
Where's he going?
Everyone, it's Pep Guardiola. It's a Pep Guardiola effect. He's like, 100%. He's ruined non-league football now.
Trying to play out from the back, but he's playing so far back, he's put it in the top corner of his own net. Absolutely outrageous.
I used to watch Petr Cech do that for Arsenal. Like, when we used to first implement Petr Cech and passing out from the back, he just didn't have that about him. And every time he got the ball at his feet, I was like, fuck me, he's gonna do something mad.
Alex McCarthy, yes.
Yeah. Oh, mate, yeah, stinker.
And then for best of the rest, it has to go to Willy Nonto's winner for Leeds. Swansea thought they scraped an equaliser in the dying embers of the game. And then Willy Nonto goes ahead and says, we ain't going nowhere.
Leeds looking for another big moment of their own. Dan James, Nonto, onside, Nonto!
It's huge. It's huge for him. I feel like Leeds are really good again, like late.
They're a moments club, aren't they? Yeah. And I think, I just don't know if Daniel Farke's the guy, you know?
No.
Just don't really know if I like him. Right.
Right.
It's time for the main segment of the evening. Today's guest,
Harry from Scarfy Talks Spurs. So, we did Bordeaux Fives, gave him five games to predict. You know the score. 3 points for a correct score.
The question is, did Harry know the scores?
That's a great question.
What's happening, people? Firstly, thank you very much for this opportunity. Let's predict the five games that's been selected for me to predict. We start with Leicester versus Chelsea. Saturday lunchtime. I think this is going to be a good game. I think there's goals in it. Obviously, Chelsea don't keep clean sheets away from home, so I think that will continue. I do fancy a Chelsea win, but I think Leicester will be resilient defensively, maybe go 1-0 down early. And kind of stay in the game. So I'm thinking 3-1 Chelsea on this one. But I think Leicester might get consolation towards the end. I think their score, whether it be, I don't know, Daka, IU off the bench, I think that Leicester do have a goal in them. Next game is Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest. Obviously, Forest lost for the international break against Newcastle. I think they'll lose this one. I'm going to go with 2-0. Arsenal, Bournemouth versus Brighton. And this is the game that hasn't been talked about enough. I fancy goals in this one. I'm going to go with 2-0. Brighton, Manchester City versus Spurs is the big one of the weekend. My team involved. I'm going to go with 3-2 Man City. I think Spurs will fight really hard, but I think Man City obviously the announcement Pep Guardiola extending should be boosted by the return of several defensive assets, including Stones, Kanji, etc. So they should be in a good position, but that midfield battle will be interesting. They must win that. It could be a field day for Haaland, but Spurs, you just never know what team is going to turn up. If the team turns up that they played, you know, like we did against Ipswich, then I think we're, you know, in trouble, and Man City can take full advantage of that. So I am going 3-2 City. I think it'd be tighter than some people will think, but I still fancy Man City to get the win. Obviously, City next have got Liverpool, so they need as many points as they can. Four games in a row loss in all competitions, the first time in Pep's career. But slowly, you know, players are starting to come back, and I think they'll be okay and ride this mini storm, if you like. And the following game is Ipswich against Man United on Sunday, 4:30 kickoff. I mean, this is, you know, perfectly placed for a Super Sunday. I think, obviously, this is Almiron's first game in charge of Man United. There's a lot is unknown with the system. I think United would be very keen to bring in a left-back in January, but realistically, probably the summer, that would be absolutely the top of their wish list for him. You know, short-term in 2025 and long-term, that can really help them, that left-back, in the way that Almiron plays. We don't know in terms of Luke Shaw's not far coming away, whether Mazraoui, for example, start. I've gone with him in my FPL team. Not sure whether he'll start or not. Garnacho's another one. Will he start? So there's a few question marks around that. You'll have to see. But Ipswich, I think, obviously beat Spurs last time out. They got momentum. Obviously, disrupted a little bit by international break. I think they're without Hurst, I believe. He's done really well against Spurs. So that will be a miss for them. But I think Ipswich will give it a real fight. We'll get a draw. And Almiron's first game, I'm going to go with 2-2. So they're my five predictions. Get your predictions in the comments below. But thank you for this opportunity.
3 points for a correct score. 1 point for a correct result. And nothing if you get it wrong. The leaderboard is looking tasty. Still, Mike's at the top. I think Luke, Jacob, Rory's doing quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's looking tasty. Check it out. It's on our socials. So, first up, Harry predicted 3-1 Chelsea against Leicester, who we spoke about.
Mm.
It's a correct result. Not a correct score, but correct a correct result.
Yes.
1 point. And he followed that up. Very quickly, he got rid of... he just went past the Arsenal. I think it's because he's a Spurs fan. Said 2-0 Arsenal.
3-0, yep.
It was 2-0 until my boy, Ethan Wanneri, came on. What a player.
Baller.
We'll talk about him at some point.
I was right. The downfall of Forest is coming.
Come on. So yeah, that was 2-0 the prediction, 3-0 the result, which means another point.
2 points.
He said 2-0 Brighton against Bournemouth. Good prediction. It was 2-1.
Yeah, Brighton with the...
So that's another point.
Baleba getting sent off, double yellow card.
Mm.
But yeah, 3 points on the board.
The big one for Harry, his beloved Spurs taking on Manchester City. He actually said Manchester City to win this 3-2. Spurs
to...
yeah. He said Spurs put up a good fight. He just didn't know how good a fight they were going to put up.
Yeah.
4-0, so that's an incorrect result. 0 points.
Still 3 points on the board.
And then to round it up, what was this? Monday night football, or was it Sunday?
What was it?
Oh, Man United Ipswich.
Sunday.
Sunday night. He said 2-2 draw in Ruben Amorim's first game, and it was 1-1.
Yeah, very good. That's actually... I mean, four correct results.
Yeah, you should put an acker on it.
Is very good.
Yeah, four very correct good. Results. So that's 4 points. Puts you, I think, drawn with me at the moment on the leaderboard, which is like 4-5.
I mean, maybe the weighting and the scoring of this is a bit dodgy, because 3 points for a correct result. If you get one correct result and one correct scoreline and a correct result, and that's better than four correct scores. Game is the game.
So, yeah, Harry, thank you for getting involved. Let us know in the comments down below who you'd like to get involved for board draw fives in the coming weeks. We have Prem coming out the wazoo, mate.
We've got so much Premier League football coming, and it's nearly Christmas.
Oh, we'll do some festive videos, maybe.
Some festive football coming up on the Boardroom channel. So make sure you are subscribed. And if you do want to cop yourself a tasty little football shirt for yourself, for a loved one, for Christmas, for your friends, Secret Santa gift, head on over to Classic Football Shirts. Use the referral link in the description. Use code BOARDROW10. Save yourself a nice little 10% off at checkout.
Do it.
Check it out. It's been Boardroom episode 115.
And it's live.